I don't think it's phasing out. Some people just might not know about it, because there's, you know, there's quite a few people around this area, and some of them, of course, aren't in the club. But and then, of course, we got people in other states that connect with us, and yeah, it's quite busy. The nets that go on over the air, it's like, oh my gosh, there's just hundreds of them. You know, there's no way you have the time to connect with all of them.
Yeah, I hear that. Yep, absolutely true. But if you look at it, I mean, ham has went back. Man, I'm talking back in the, you know, late 60s. And GMRS is up and coming. And GMRS is doing just fantastic. And there's a lot of people that are basically intimidated basically by the testing for a ham license. And, I mean, I can see the point. But, no, I'm just saying there's even a lot of the ham operators are even coming over to GMRS. They're actually joining in, doing nets, and doing check-ins and everything, even on GMRS. So that's a good thing.
Personally, if I would have known about GMRS before ham radio and didn't have to take tests and just go ahead and get a license, I probably wouldn't be in the ham radio. Test was really, really hard for me, both of them. But, I mean, I just put my nose to the grindstone and got through it. But the GMRS is like a piece of cake.
That is true. I don't know. I'd say they're both valuable. It doesn't matter. I mean, how can you say they're not? Both of them are valuable. So it's good to have both. I mean, you've got one as a backup, the other as a backup. So it's good to have.
What I like about the GMRS so much is that it's so family oriented. I just love it when I hear these little kids on the radio checking in. Just like that is so cool, you know. And you don't do that with a ham group, and it's, you know, it's so much more relaxed. And the ham guys are, you know, they're way too technical, you know. And it's two different worlds, you know. And they're both valuable, totally.
That's true, and that's a good thing. I mean, because that's family-oriented as Oregon, plain and simple. We're here. This is what we are. This is what we do. And as far as ham, it is a great thing because they've got the knowledge. And when you have technical issues, well, you got people like Jeff, you got people like Dale, and you've got everybody else that will turn around and come to the rescue. And when it's really needed, that's the whole deal, is camaraderie, plain and simple. That's what it means. It doesn't matter what area or what frequency you're on, it's camaraderie.
Everybody's willing to help everybody. That's what's, you know, it's really great. Like David showed up today, you know, because I was having issues with the radio and I was having issues with some of the CW stuff, you know, and so he came over. He had to come into town, so he came over and, you know, and checked out stuff for me, and it was, like, awesome. That's just how they are. It's wonderful.
That is the radio community. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should always be. I mean, even in the military, it was the same way. That was your mainstay communication. So you got to protect that, and you got to use it. You got to learn it. Learn it in whichever way you can. And did you say that you know Morse code, or you don't know Morse code anymore, or you haven't learned it?
Trying to learn Morse code. I have never knew it. David had used it many years ago because he was like you. He was licensed way before you had to have Morse code to get it, you know, get a license. And then he let it go because he wasn't using it. And then when I started coming in to the club, some other people want to learn, you know, CW. So he said, "Well, I'm going to get back into it." So he's already transmitting back and forth. I'm doing good just to get some of the letters down.
I hear that. You need to get you, I forget what the actual name of it is. Your buddy could probably tell you. It's basically a Morse code key and basically, let's see, I think I did it up 9-volt and to a speaker to where you can practice your dot, 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 dit, dot, 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 and it could probably help you out quite a bit. That's what we used in, actually, in my second year of high school. We had these, they were just keys. They would turn on and send a signal to a speaker and give us our dots and our dits. And that could probably help you out quite a bit.
Set me up with something like that. I have two different programs that I work on. I can listen to it and then run my key on what I'm hearing, and then I can key it myself. So it's back and forth, and that's what he set me up with. And so, that's really helpful, way helpful.
Yeah, it really is. Basically, back when I was in high school, I was really, it was tough. For me to learn Morse code, my main thing was electronics, basically, in high school. And I was trying to learn Morse code, but it was really rough for me. Because I was so much into the electronics end of it that I didn't really have the time for Morse code. But the electronics teacher that I had set me up with this little deal. It was nothing but Morse code keypad and hooked to a battery and to a speaker. And I would sit there and listen to what he would turn on and produce on a recording, and believe it or not, it helped me massively.
I'm sure. I don't know how people learned it without this kind of help somewhere, because, it's a whole other language, and there is so much. You're not just learning the letters. You got to put them together and the words, and then you have all the abbreviations that they have. There's a whole lot in there.
All the abbreviations, the numbers, the letters, the whole ball of wax in order to formulate the language itself. Yeah. I don't know. When, like I said, in my younger days, it was no problem. I just picked up on it just easily. I would imagine if I tried to get back into it now, I remember some Morse code. I remember probably maybe about 25% of the alphabet Morse code. And if I was to get back into it, it'd take me some time, but I could do it again.
Not much. Still remember, that wouldn't be hardly a problem at all. Are you familiar with SOTA? Summits on the Air?
With who? Say that again.
SOTA, S-O-T-A, Summits on the Air.
No, actually I'm not.
It's a part of ham radio that people hike to the highest mountains that they have. It started in Sweden, and it's now worldwide. last weekend, one of the main organizers of it here in Oregon, she lives in Ashland, her and her husband have a ranch out there. She came over and did a class for us here, and then we went up to Hemmacher, and she was actually doing CW, some of it, and some of it we were talking to people all over the place. But she actually was able to contact Japan, two different contacts, off of Hemmacher, and then we went up to Chase Mountain, and then she got two different ones from Japan there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, frequencies and frequency waves, they travel. Yeah, it kind of, it goes where it wants to go, and it goes, I mean, it depends on how much control you have as far as where you want it to go.
He has a setup that is so tiny. I mean, it fits in the palm of your hand. And her, she has like a fishing pole type extension to put her antenna up. And she can sit there and basically contact the world, depends on the mountaintop she's on, or anybody. I mean, people are contacting back and forth. And it's basically CW because it doesn't take the power. They can get, she couldn't get anybody to talk to her from Japan, but she could get to them through CW.
She's receiving them, but she's not being able to transmit to them. I had a question, and my brain just dropped it. Is she actually using the ham repeaters, though?
Oh, they're not allowed to use repeaters at all. In fact, they can't even use any radios in their car. You can drive up to the summit if they're got a road to them, and then you have to hike away from your car and set up your antenna and do everything on that. It's all on airwaves. It's no repeaters at all.
Okay. Yeah, I was just asking because I do know we've got ham repeaters on some of our hilltops here. So, yeah, I was just wondering.
I buy the repeaters, but we couldn't use any of them. And it was like, this is sort of interesting because it was, you have the repeaters, we're sitting next to the building, what the repeaters are, and you can't use them.
It's a good thing, yeah, kind of gives you a little bit of training and getting used to, you know, being non-dependent on repeater systems, but even though they're great, I mean, I love them. I love what's being done with the repeater systems here, especially with GMRS. But yeah, but I mean, you can't knock them and you can't beat them. But when it hits the fan, yeah, you got to figure another way around it.
And like I said, with her stuff, it's so portable, it's so easy. You know, she's like, she can go anywhere and connect with, because she doesn't care. A lot of these summits that they go, there is no road. They got to hike up to them. And it's more like it's not a club. Well, yeah, it is a club. But it's not... It's something that you gain points for. It's not competition between people. It's a competition for yourself to see how many summits you can get onto and how many points you can get, you know, to do this. And then they have the people who can't climb mountains that are at home trying to connect with these people that are climbing the mountains. You know, so it's a two-way thing.
Yeah, I hear that 100%. That's exactly why I am turning around and doing what I'm doing as far as a repeater system here in Klamath. But yeah, I understand that 100%. Anyway, I need to broadcast, if anybody is out there that needs the airway, WSBT 889 Klamath, carrying on the conversation. If somebody needs us to back up and cut in, let us know.